That's not going to help. How's that? Hopefully everybody can hear me now. This morning we are going to be in Ezra chapter 2. Ezra chapter 2. And it's good to see everyone here this morning. I'm not Wayne Welsh, as you know. Wayne is over across the state in Melbourne. He's going to be preaching for the O'Galley Church of Christ there in Melbourne this morning. They invited him to come and speak. And so Wayne asked me to fill in for him in the class. Excuse me. And he left me with Ezra chapter 2, which is one of the most exciting chapters in Ezra because it's a list of names. So we'll spend time going over each name and understanding who they are. No, I'm just kidding about that. Well, there's plenty to discuss here besides the names, and I think we may actually have a hard time getting through it all before class is over. All right, so as we begin, we want to have a word of prayer. So let's go to God in prayer at this time. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us all here safely this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to study your word together. We pray that you will be with us in our study and bless us with understanding and help us to understand what we can take from this passage and apply to our lives that we might be better able to serve you. We pray that you'll be with those that aren't with us this morning, that you will bless them and bring them back to us in safety. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so as we begin, we'll read chapter 2 and then see what we can glean from it. Ezra chapter 2. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Now these were the people of the province who came up out of the captivity of those exiles from whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried captive to Babylonia. They returned to Jerusalem and Judah, each to his own town. They came with Zerubbabel, Jeshua, Nehemiah, Sariah, Reliah, Mordecai, Bilshan, Mispar, Bigvai, Rehum, and Badna. The number of the men of the people of Israel, the sons of Perosh, 2,172, the sons of Shephatiah, 372, the sons of Atah, 775, the sons of Pahath Moab, namely the sons of Jeshua and Joab, 2,812, the sons of Elam, 1,254, the sons of Zatu, 945, the sons of Zakai, 760, the sons of Bani, 642, the sons of Bebai, 623, the sons of Azgad, 1,222, the sons of Adonikam, 666, the sons of Bigvai, 2,056, the sons of Adin, 454, the sons of Eter, namely of Hezekiah, 98, the sons of Bezai, 323, the sons of Jorah, 112, the sons of Hashum, 223, the sons of Gibar, 95, the sons of Bethlehem, 123, the men of Netophah, 56, the men of Anathoth, 128, the sons of Azmaveth, 42, the sons of Kiriath Arim, Chephirath, and Beeroth, 743, the sons of Ramah and Geba, 621, the men of Michmas, 122, the men of Bethel and Ai, 223, the sons of Nebo, 52, the sons of Magbish, 156, the sons of the other Elam, 1,254, the sons of Harim, 320, the sons of Lod, Hadid, and Ono, 725, the sons of Jericho, 345, the sons of Sinah, 3,630. Excuse me. The priests, the sons of Jediah of the house of Jeshua, 973, the sons of Immer, 1,052, the sons of Pashur, 1,247, the sons of Harim, 1,017. The Levites, the sons of Jeshua and Kadmiel, of the sons of Hodaviah, 74. The singers, the sons of Asaph, 128. The sons of the gatekeepers, the sons of Shalom, the sons of Atar, the sons of Talman, the sons of Akub, the sons of Hatitah, and the sons of Shobai, in all 139. The temple servants, the sons of Ziha, the sons of Hasufa, the sons of Tabioth, the sons of Kiras, the sons of Siaha, the sons of Padon, the sons of Lebanah, the sons of Hagabah, the sons of Akub, the sons of Hagab, the sons of Shamlai, the sons of Hanan, the sons of Gedel, the sons of Gahar, the sons of Riaiah, the sons of Rezin, the sons of Nakoda, the sons of Gazam, the sons of Uzza, the sons of Paseah, the sons of Basai, the sons of Asna, the sons of Manim, the sons of Nephisim, the sons of Bakbuk, the sons of Hakufa, the sons of Harher, the sons of Basluth, the sons of Bahida, the sons of Harsha, the sons of Barkos, the sons of Sisera, the sons of Tima, the sons of Neziah, and the sons of Hatifa, the sons of Solomon's servants, the sons of Sotai, the sons of Hasapharoth, the sons of Peruda, the sons of Jala, the sons of Darkon, the sons of Gedel, the sons of Shephatiah, the sons of Hatil, the sons of Pokereth Hasabaim, and the sons of Ami. All the temple servants and the sons of Solomon's servants were 392. The following were those who came up from Tel Melah, Tel Harsha, Cherub, Adan, and Immer, though they could not prove their fathers' houses or their descent, whether they belonged to Israel. The sons of Deliah, the sons of Tobiah, and the sons of Nekoda, 652. Also of the sons of the priests, the sons of Habiah, the sons of Hakaz, and the sons of Barzillai, who had taken a wife from the daughters of Barzillai, the Gileadite, and was called by their name. These sought their registration among those enrolled in the genealogies, but they were not found there, and so they were excluded from the priesthood as unclean. The governor told them that they were not to partake of the most holy food until there should be a priest to consult Urim and Thummim. The whole assembly together was 42,360, besides their male and female servants, of whom there were 7,337, and they had 200 male and female singers. Their horses were 736, their mules were 245, their camels were 435, and their donkeys were 6,720. Some of the heads of families, when they came to the house of the Lord, that is in Jerusalem, made freewill offerings for the house of God to erect it on its site. According to their ability, they gave to the treasury of the work 61,000 derricks of gold, 5,000 minas of silver, and 100 priest garments. Now the priests, the Levites, some of the people, the singers, the gatekeepers, and the temple servants lived in their towns, and all the rest of Israel in their towns. All right, well, that's a lot of names. Trust me, I don't really know how to pronounce them. I just let it roll off my tongue. However it comes out is how it comes out. So I'm no expert. I just try to sound like Wayne, basically. All right. So let's talk about this. Now, I will point out that there is a similar list to this in 1 Chronicles chapter 9. I'm not going to talk about that list today, but I would encourage you to read it. It's interesting that way back in Chronicles, we have a list of these same people. It doesn't exactly match, but it is the same people. It's the people that returned from exile. And so apparently somebody went back and recorded that in the genealogies. Also in 1 Chronicles 9, I believe the question came up about storing the genealogies in the temple. It does indicate that all the people's genealogies were recorded in the Book of Kings. So that may be where that idea comes from, that all the genealogies were stored in the temple. I don't think we have those genealogies from the Book of Kings, because I don't remember seeing those in 1 or 2 Kings. So maybe that part has been lost. I don't know. I haven't looked into that. But something to think about. All right. So things that we need to remember. I mean, obviously this is a list of those that returned to the Persian province of Yehud or Judah. And let's make sure we understand what that is. I don't know if Wayne looked at a map or not with you guys, but the map that I found, this is Israel, when it was divided among the 12 tribes, right? So we have Judah down here and Benjamin here. All of this is Israel. Simeon's here, Reuben's here, and this is Moab. Manasseh, Asher, Naphtali, and this is Phoenicia up here, so that's not part of it. All right, so they had this whole territory at one time. Then the Assyrians came and took away the northern tribes. And then Nebuchadnezzar came and took a bunch of the Judah and Benjamin into exile. So when they returned, the place that they returned to is this little area right here. Just this one little spot here. Not even the whole of what used to be Judah. And let's see. Apparently, above that was called Samaria to the north. And then the Edomites had encroached on the southern border, so this was called Idumea down here. And then we have Ashdod and the plain of Ono to the west, here and here. All right, so Judah is just this little tiny area over here. So that's where they came back to. Now, we have to remember that this isn't everyone that was taken into captivity. All right, who came back? Who did Nebuchadnezzar send back? I'm sorry, Cyrus. Nebuchadnezzar took them. Cyrus sent them back. Who did Cyrus send back? Zerubbabel. Okay. Exactly. Okay. So the ones that wanted to come back came back, and what was the purpose for their return? To build the temple. Okay? So Cyrus specifically stated this was to establish the worship of God in Jerusalem and to rebuild the temple. So that's why these people came back. So we need to keep that in mind as we go along here. So they returned. Did you have a few. Okay, all right. yeah, and please feel free to chime in if I skip over something that you wanted to point out. I'd be glad for that. All right, so in verse 1 it says they came back, Nebuchadnezzar took them, Cyrus sent them back to Babylon, and they came up out of the captivity. Well, I have a note here beyond the river, like it says that there, but it doesn't. But that's where they came from, was from beyond the river. It was when it says beyond the river in Ezra, it's talking about the Euphrates. I'm not sure why I noted that here, because it's not in this verse. But just so you have the geography, the Euphrates is way out here. I could show you a different map, but that would take too long for me to flip through the maps and find it. Okay, so was Judea unpopulated and just waiting for these people to return? What's going on in Judea, do you think? See some heads shaking. Anyone know what's going on in Judea? Okay, all right. So we do have. I'm sorry. right, okay. And so as we go through Ezra, we'll see that, yes, there were people that were not taken in captivity that are still there. Are they all Jews? No, okay. So just to get an idea of what's going on, yes, many of the Jews were taken in captivity. Some left, but other people started settling in the land. So this is what these people are coming back to, is a land that's been settled by Jews that aren't observing the Jewish religion, as well as foreigners that have come in and settled. Okay, so that's going to be key as we continue to look at Ezra and see all the troubles that they had in trying to build the temple. So, but imagine these people, you know, they've settled in the land, they've got their lives, they're doing whatever it is they feel is right. And here's these 42,000 plus Jews, plus 75, so almost 50,000 people, if you count the male and female servants, almost 50,000 people just show up And they start settling in the land. And they're like, oh, we're going to rebuild the temple. We're going to establish the word of the worship of God. And so imagine how the people felt that were there. And so some of the things that continue to happen in the book of Ezra start to make sense. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. This is my land now. Okay. So let's talk about some of the names. In verse 2, they came with Zerubbabel, the first name that's mentioned. He's called the son of Shealtiel in chapter 3, verse 2, and in other places. Anybody know anything about Zerubbabel? Why did he come back? Turn to Haggai chapter 1. And we're going to see a couple of names here that we'll recognize. Haggai chapter 1. And would someone read verses 1 through 6 for me, please? Okay, thank you. So, spoiler alert, they don't just come and build the temple and everything's hunky-dory. We have Haggai here, and he is prophesying to Zerubbabel and this person called Jeshua. So there's another spoiler alert there, who is the high priest. And what is Zerubbabel's function? In verse 1. He's the governor. Okay, so he has come back as the political leader of these returning exiles. And then we have Joshua, or actually he's called Jeshua here in Ezra 2:2, and what is his function? He is the high priest. In chapter 3 and verse 2, he's called the son of Jehozadak, or Jozadak, and we see that reference here in Haggai 1:1 as well. Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. All right, so those are the two key figures. So it seems that these first people listed in verse 2 would be, I guess, the leaders of the group coming back. Zerubbabel and Jeshua being the key, the political leader and the religious leader. So let's look just a little more closely at Zerubbabel. If we turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 3... First Chronicles chapter 3. Someone read verses 17 through 19, please.
Sons of Jeconiah, son, Alpha, Azar, Jeconiah, Edabiah. Sons of Diah were Zerubbabel, Kaiah, sons of Hananiah, Shelomith, their sister.
Okay. So here in 1 Chronicles chapter 3, and if you look up at the first verse, we're talking about the sons of David. So this is the lineage of David. Zerubbabel is a descendant of David. And if you read through this, you see that Zerubbabel is actually descended from Jehoiakim. And what do we know about Jehoiakim? Okay. So he was the, so it was, there was Jehoiakim, and then his son was Jehoiachin. And what happened during Jehoiakim's reign? That's when they were taken. That's when Nebuchadnezzar. Right, right. So Zerubbabel is should have been a king. So it's fitting that he is now the governor at least. Now, also, what's interesting is in Matthew chapter 1. Look at Matthew chapter 1, and some of you read verses 12 through 16 for me. Okay, so not only was he a descendant of David, he was also an ancestor of Christ. All right, so an important figure in our history. Okay, so let's look at Joshua, or Jeshua, as he's called. Now, there's not much else that we can say about Jeshua other than the fact that he is the high priest as identified by Haggai. Who else was named Jeshua in the Bible? Somebody very, very important. Very, very important. Who we just mentioned, actually. Okay, Joshua the son of Nun. What's the Greek version of Jeshua? Jesus, okay, all right. So to me, I don't know, this is just me, but to me there's something fitting about someone named Jeshua or Jesus coming back to reestablish the worship of God in Jerusalem. To me, I don't know, that kind of makes him a type of Jesus. But I may be reading too much into that. You take that for what it's worth. All right, a couple of other names. Nehemiah. All right, where do we know Nehemiah from? Okay, it's not the same Nehemiah, though, is it? No, it can't be, because that happened almost a century later when Nehemiah returned to build the wall. So this has to be a different Nehemiah. And then there's also Mordecai. Where have we heard the name? Where do we hear the name Mordecai? In Esther. Okay, but again, the right, and the events of Esther happened 50 years after this, about. So Mordecai is seen as being in the city of Babylon 50 years after this. So this is probably a different Mordecai. So just so we don't get confused. All right, a couple other names. In verses 37 and 38, we have Immer and Pashur. Let's see. Immer and Pashur. All right, so for Pashur, so remember, these are people that are returning. It's not Pashur himself, but his descendants. But who is Pashur? Well, let's look at Jeremiah chapter 20. And actually, backing up to chapter 19 and verse 14, if someone would read all the way through verse 6 of chapter 20 for me. Jeremiah 19:14 through Jeremiah 26. Okay, and so this did, of course, happen. We see that in 2 Chronicles 36. Just an interesting note, it says that the Lord, in verse 3, the Lord does not call your name Pasher, which I believe one dictionary I saw says that means to separate or to cleave. My Bible here says it means to tear apart. But you shall not be called Pasher, but terror on every side is how they translate that name that Keith read for us. Terror on every side, because behold, I will make you a terror to yourself and to all your friends. And of course, that's what happened in 2 Chronicles 36 when Nebuchadnezzar took over their land and took them away and destroyed the temple. And so the point we want to make here is that these people that are returning are the not too distant relatives of those that were taken away. Those like Pasher and Jehoiakim that rebelled against God and rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar, whom God sent to punish them. And so, does this remind us of anything else in Egypt's history you can think of? I'm sorry, Egypt's history. In Israel's history. Can you think of another time when they rebelled against God and then it was left to another generation to return? Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I thought of. And so we have the same kind of situation here. And you know, I dare say that we're meant to think about that as we read through this. So the list of people, they're grouped into different categories. Any comments or questions before we move forward? Yes. Oh, go ahead, and then I'll talk.
Couple of things for me personally.
Yeah. Right.
We don't know.
Right. 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 Exactly.
Another is, hasn't mentioned Solomon. Solomon.
Mm-hmm.
So, that was him. Solomon served God.
Yes, right. That is a very interesting point. That not all of these people, and we'll discuss this a little bit more, but not all of these people were descendants of Abraham, really. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. Tom, you have your hand up? That's my understanding. These are the ones that returned with Zerubbabel, the first wave that came back, and their purpose was to restore the temple and the worship of God. All right, anything else? All right, so we have these groups of people. The first is in verses 2 through 35, and we'll call this the list of laity, those that were not religious leaders, I guess. And so they're all listed as either sons of or men of, and if you look at the names here, they're not all people's names. Some of these are place names, like you look at Bethlehem, for instance, I believe Ramah and Geba are, those are place names. And so we kind of have this mixture of people that trace their citizenship in Israel to their fathers, and some that trace their citizenship to the city that they came from originally. It seems to be the idea here. All right, so then in verse 36 we have the priests, and then in verses 40 through 42 the Levites, And so, of course, the Levites would be those Jews that would be aiding in the service of the temple. That was what the Levites were given for, and they're divided into the singers and the gatekeepers. And then in 43 through 54, we have the temple servants. So these are non-Levites that serve in the temple. Yes?
Just back. AI.
Oh, that's right. Oh, I didn't notice that. That's, yeah, thank you. Yeah. That's very interesting. Okay. All right, so the temple servants. Now, these temple servants that are not Levites, these are thought to be, perhaps, Gibeonites. And if you look back in Joshua 9:27, actually, let's turn there real quick. Joshua 9:27. So in this context, we have the, in my Bible, the heading is the Gibeonite deception. So we have these men from Gibeon, and they come and they pretend to be from, not from Canaan, but from a long way off. And they make a treaty with Joshua, and Joshua fails to ask the Lord before he makes this treaty. And so, in verse 22, Joshua summoned them, and he said to them, "Why did you deceive us, saying, 'We are very far from you when you dwell among us'? Now, therefore, you are cursed, and some of you shall never be anything but servants, cutters of wood and drawers of water for the house of my God." They answered Joshua, "Because it was told to your servants for a certainty that the Lord your God had commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. So we feared greatly for our lives because of you and did this thing. And now, behold, we are in your hand. Whatever you seems good and right in your sight to do to us, do it." So he did this to them and delivered them out of the hand of the people of Israel, and they did not kill them. But Joshua made them that day cutters of wood and drawers of water for the congregation and for the altar of the Lord to this day in the place that he should choose. And this, and so it's thought that these temple servants were these Gibeonites, descendants of the Gibeonites, that were still there among the Jews. And then in then we have the sons of Solomon's servants in verse 55 through 57. And these are thought to be those mentioned in 1 Kings chapter 9. Let me turn there real quick. 1 Kings chapter 9, when Solomon is building the temple, it says, beginning in verse 20, "All the people who were left of the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, who were not of the people of Israel, their descendants who were left after them in the land, whom the people of Israel were unable to devote to destruction, These Solomon drafted to be slaves, and so they are to this day. But of the people of Israel, Solomon made no slaves. They were the soldiers, they were his officials, his commanders, his captains, his chariot commanders, and his horsemen." And so these are thought, these temple servants, Solomon's servants, sorry, are thought to be those non-Jewish, non-Levites that were assigned to serve in the temple by Solomon. Now, what's interesting is that you look at the Levites, the Jewish temple servants, how many of them were there in verse 42? Okay. How many of the other temple servants and Solomon's servants were there in verse 58? So there's quite a few more what we think are non-Jewish servants to the temple than there were Levites who were given by God to serve in the temple. I don't know, that might say something. It's an interesting point. It might point to the fact that the Levites had gone that far away from God, so there weren't that many to save. I'm not sure exactly what to make of that, but it's interesting to me. All right, and then in verse 59 through 63, we have those with questionable heritage. And it says they came up from Telmalah, Telharsha, Cherub, Aran, and Immer. These are places in Babylon, the places where they came from. And they all claim to be of Jewish descent. And we have some that are laity, I guess you would say, the sons of Deliah, the sons of Tobiah, the sons of Nekoda, 652 of them. And then in verse 61, we have those that claim to be priests, so descendants of Aaron. But the problem is that no one can prove it. They can't prove their lineage. So here are people that desire to be priests. They want to be identified as priests, but they can't prove their lineage. Why is that a problem? They had to be a tribe of Levi. They had to be descendants of Aaron. Right? All right. But, I mean, you know, how important was that really? I mean, why didn't Zerubbabel, because Zerubbabel tells them, you know, they're going to be considered unclean and you can't partake of the holy food until we can consult with God. So why didn't he just take them at their word? I mean, they claimed to be priests. Why didn't he just say, okay, if you say so? What would be the problem with that? Turn to Numbers chapter 18. And someone read verses 1 through 7 for me, please. The outsider who comes near shall be put to death. How serious was this to God? Quite serious. Quite serious. And so, the attitude of Zerubbabel here shows how serious he was about this task that was put before him, before Jeshua, of coming back and restoring the worship of God. They were going to do things right. They weren't going to be loosey-goosey about it. They were going to do things the way God wanted it done. Otherwise, were they really restoring the worship of God? No. No. They would be restoring the worship of themselves if they did things the way they wanted it. And so he in verse 63, he says, you will not partake of the most holy food until we can consult Urim and Thummim. And what is Urim and Thummim? Okay, yeah, it was supposed to be in the breastplate of the high priest, and we don't exactly know what that is, but it was a way for them to consult with God and to obtain an answer from God about a question that they had. And so this was going to be the method of finding out. Yes? Right.
Quite possible that... unless we finally grow proud.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What? Uh-huh. Right. Okay, now, as we go through Ezra, I do think that there's evidence that God is with them because of the way the events unfold. I don't know that we see any direct the hand of God directly affecting what's happening here. We don't see, you know, any miracles or anything like that. But just the providence of God seems to be here. So I yeah, that's right. He was speaking through prophets, through Haggai. Right.
He's always been faithful.
Right. Right. It could be that Urim and Thummim is, has become synonymous with the idea of consulting with God, even if they didn't have the actual Urim and Thummim that was originally part of Aaron's high priestly garments. Did I see another hand up? Okay, so it was very important for them to do this correctly. So the total people that came back, we already said, was 42,360. And if you add the servants, it's almost 50,000 people. That is quite an influx of people, and it would have been noticed by the people that were living there. But if you consider that against Numbers 27:51, the number of people that entered the land in the beginning, 601,730. And so Isaiah 1:9 says, if the Lord of hosts had not left us a few survivors, we would not have been like Sodom. We should have been like Sodom and become like Gomorrah. Well, these are the few survivors. This is the remnant that Isaiah 1:9 is talking about. And truly it is a remnant, less than 10% of the people that originally entered Israel. And what should have happened is that 600,000 people came into the land of Israel, and the country just grew and grew and grew until there were millions of people there. Now they're down to 40,000 or 50,000. All right, well, that's the end of class. Perhaps Wayne will talk about the free will offerings in 68 and 69. I'll just mention, if you look at that yourself, while it's a much smaller offering than we saw with the tabernacle that Moses put together and the temple that Solomon put together, this reminds us of that, where the people gave freely of what they had, what they could give, so that these could be built. All right, any questions before we finish class today? I appreciate your attention, and Wayne will be back on Thursday to continue with Chapter 3.